Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, I see that you did not completely melt during the heat wave.
No, I didn't. Almost turned into Olaf a few times.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, it was. I finally, the heat index, I think, matched the real estate index. It was that hot of a market that we've been seeing. And I know a lot of people think it was a little too hot, but I enjoy that.
Yeah, as long as you're not running across a parking lot in your bare feet.
True, yes, exactly, or working on top of a roof. So I don't know how the roofers do that on some of that hot stuff, but we appreciate what they are doing out there when they have to. So we always like to kind of start off the show with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And it looks like, McKay, that you can buy Marshawn Lynch's Bay Area house. So according to Outkick.com, that house went on the market. He purchased it in 2012. For just over $3 million, and it hit the market at $5.275 million. And you know, he has strong roots there, obviously, in the Bay Area. There, the thing about it though is the article was kind of clowning on some things inside the house. We should say it was not exactly staged how you would expect $5.5 million to do. I was very offended by one of the statements in the article.
Okay.
It said that you would expect in his kitchen to have, like a large double stainless steel, like a big stove, like Wolf appliances or something like that. But word for word, it says, but it appears that Beast Mode went the untraditional route with side-by-side Kenmores or something like that. What's wrong with Kenmores, people? That's, I mean, come on. So I had to go and investigate, and I will tell you, it was untraditional, and it does look funny to see in the house. Instead of like one big, wide six-burner stove, there's literally two smaller stoves just side by side in there.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen that before on a picture. So.
Well, he's always been kind of a non-traditional person.
Definitely.
And go figure.
And it was probably a quarter the cost of those big stoves in that way. And then there was also just some, as they called it, interesting couch configurations where they had two couches back to back in the middle of the room and then shoved up against the fireplace. I don't know what to tell you. But I will tell you, some people will love it. Did have his and hers garages.
Ooh.
So two separate garages so that you can, we'll say, keep the peace with what's going on inside of the garages. Great, cool looking place, though, right on the waterfront. Some amazing views. But I will tell you, it is worth taking a look at because there was definitely some interesting things, staging wise at that property for sure. So we always like to, temper that with a local real estate story and then start kind of building our show upon that. I tell you what, as we rolled over into the first show of June here, running the stats for May, it was, and I think people have been feeling this in the market, and we've talked about multiple offers and prices going up. We had a record high average sales price. Average sales price in May, average, was, for the first time that I've seen this, $405,000.
Wow.
So, I mean, it just, I mean, we've seen those prices kind of creep up and get into that different bracket. And that for sure was, you know, you run those stats and you're like, oh man, we've got a 4 in front of this number now. And what does that look like? Kind of interesting.
Nutty.
Coming off of the heels of our show last week about inflation. Mm-hmm. And so, not saying that the timing was right on that, but maybe the timing was right on that.
Yeah.
So we always like to kind of temper that with, what are the questions you're getting, Lance? What are you seeing in the market right now? And what are some of the things that we're dealing with? And so looking at the market knowledge and that, and we were studying some things this week. And I tell you what, our Washington Association of Realtors, our attorney, puts out a great segment, Annie Fitzsimmons, and she put out some videos this last week that talked about negotiation strategies with realtors. And so they went over some points about, and they had a framework that they called the 4 successful parts of a negotiation.
Okay.
And so as I went through these, I thought to myself, the first time I had watched the video, I thought, these are just too simplistic and a little too basic. And then as I rewatched it a second time with some of my agents, we started to have some great conversations about it. So I was taking some notes for the show. And the very first, I'll just go over the 4 points and then we'll come back and start to break these down. But the 4 points to a successful negotiation that they laid out was communication/relatedness.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 was professional credibility. Number 3 was promise of trust. And number 4 was clarity of outcome. So as I went through the last week and we were working on deals with clients and putting things together, anytime we would come across a stumbling point or we were having a problem, I'd pull out these notes and say, oh man, this is very, very relevant. I mean, we know this stuff, but sometimes we don't look at it in that framework. And so the very first one that we talked about was communication and relatedness. And so I've got some points with that, and that's not only about, so it's going to become very, very apparent in this negotiation, that you're not sometimes as an agent just negotiating with the other agent. Sometimes you're negotiating with your client, mm-hmm. on, you know, on what their wants and needs are versus, say, maybe their budget and what they... And if they will be able to get 100% of their wish list. So we always talk about this when clients come in and we have this process that we go through. And we, you know, we have a dream list with our clients and they write down the things that they would be looking for. But then we also know we have a budget. So one of the exercises that most of our clients have a budget, I would say. And so we always go through this process of, well, if our budget is X, what could come off of that wish list?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we start to kind of identify and prioritize, like, what are the priorities that we're dealing with? And so you can call that a process that you can go through. You can call that a negotiation with the client. And some clients will come in and say, hey, I want, you know, I want $1 million house and I want to get it for $500,000. And so you'll be like, okay, well, let's talk about what
this.
That looks like and what the chances are of that in a market like this. And the other thing, one of the things we like to do is, you know, the radio show, I'm glad that the radio show gets my telling out of the way, because when we're working with a client and going through that process, I don't want to tell a client something, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't want to tell a prospect something. I want to show them what that looks like. I want to give them the information and give them the transparency so that then they can come to a conclusion and look at what they're seeing in the market. And, you know, sometimes they see something that I don't. And so if we have that partnership, that's why we get down to that partnership of communication and then relatedness. And I tell you, that relatedness is a big, big deal.
Yes.
Especially when it comes down to negotiating with the other agents in the market. If you call, if you're in a multiple offer position and you're with four or five competing against four or five offers, and you can relate to the listing agent, you know them, you're in the community with them, you've done successful deals with them in the past, there is a much better chance that they will have greater communication with you and that they will help the transaction move forward. Now, if you've only ever had, say you've had four deals with another agent, and all four of those times it's been difficult, communication hasn't been great, things aren't going well. Well, if you're in a multiple offer position, inevitably the seller might ask, well, what do you know about these people? What do you know about the other agent? What is the likelihood this is going to close? Have you ever had deals with that agent not close? What was that about? And so you need to have that relatedness with the other agents so that you can have open lines of communication and help meet both the buyers and the seller's goals. Now, the second thing that they talked about in this series that I thought was interesting was professional credibility. Now, what does the other side know? Are they competent in the profession? what does the contract show? I mean, time after time this week, we received contracts and I had agents in my office and talking to me about, what do you think about this? This is what I got from the other agent. This is what they were asking.
Uh-huh.
And there was a couple times, there was more than, I think it was more than two and less than five, but 2 to 5 times in the last week that people came in and I literally sat there with my agent. I said, you can't be serious. That's what they brought you, or that's what they were requesting. And the other agent was just like, I know, that's why I came to talk to you, because I can't believe it either. And so it was some of those situations where, those aren't the type of conversations that are going to increase professional credibility.
Yeah.
Now, what we're not saying is that you have to be like a long-term person in the business. Like, someone might have professional credibility because they've been doing this a long time. They're old, like I am. and so you have that experience and you've seen that. But in the instances that we're talking, I think you can have just as much professional credibility if you're brand new in the business, but you're putting forth the effort. You've done the research. You've ran things by the mentors at your company. We never discount someone's experience level, because I've seen people on their first and second deal have what we determine to be more professional credibility than somebody that's been in the business 10 years that we get deals from. So it's a matter of, you know, we wrote down research, that you've done the research, you've presented what you think is the best possible product for the client. And so we are always looking for that professional credibility. Now, on top of the obvious ones, we go in and we talk about, your communication. Is it respectful to the other party? Are you returning phone calls, you know, when they leave messages and they send you text messages? So all of those add up to a high level of professional credibility and is really the second pillar of the negotiating strategies. We're coming up on our first break. When we come back, we are going to have some new inventory for you. And we are going to go over pillars number 3 and 4 of the negotiating process in real estate.
Right here on News Talk.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've kind of been breaking down the 4 pillars of successful negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, because I always get a little carried away with some of these topics, we like to throw on some new inventory, because I know people have struggled in the first half of the year with finding great inventory. So we've got some fantastic new properties that we've put on the market.
It's pick three.
Here we go. 23919 South Haney Road in Kennewick. This is acreage with a shop. And I know that's hard for people to find. 3.1 irrigated acres, very close to the Snake River, 2,100 square feet. 3-bedroom, 3-bath with a huge bonus flex and rec room. pool table stays. So there you go.
Ooh.
Vaulted ceilings, open concept, and they've got new HVAC in this house.
Pool table stays because those things, you ever tried to move one?
Oh, yeah. And so, yes, it's a bonus, but yes, sometimes it is a bonus for the seller that you don't have to move it. So, yes. And then you've got a huge 30 by 50 detached shop plumbed with a bathroom and a washer and dryer. 14-foot roll-up door, 200-amp service, loft area, fully fenced and landscaped yard, and that's coming in at $570,000. So great, great property.
Wow.
Pick number two, going the other way towards Altopia, 2341 Kent Drive. This is another, it's the country properties on these first two.
Mm-hmm.
This is a custom-built three-bedroom, two-bath home that's on 3 acres, panoramic views, 3,700 square feet.
Wow.
Impressive, spacious layout, warm wood floors, fireplace, meal prep is amazing in this expansive kitchen, lots of counter space, double built-in ovens, tons of cabinet storage. Then you've got an oversized master retreat with a sitting area, the dual-sided fireplace, slider out to the patio.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, on these, the way we've had it the last week, these patios with these Tri-City Nights are just,
yeah.
I don't know if you've been out, but they are gorgeous evenings that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got, listen to this garage dimensions, 39 by 35, 3-bay garage with tandem bays and a drive-through bay. I mean, I literally think you're talking 6 vehicles in this bad boy. And so tons of room for micro farming or gardening. And that's coming in at $659,000.
Wow.
And then pick number three. I know a lot of people have been waiting this. Every time we open a new phase at Urban Flats here in Pasco with the townhouses, we're selling out those phases. So we just opened up another section of the next phase. So we've got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath townhouse. Brand new construction, open concept, great craftsmanship, 1,100 square feet townhouse, 3-bed, 2-bath, and that's brand new. And that's coming in at $239,400. Okay, folks, there's a reason why we're selling out.
Because
to get brand new construction for that pricing is great. So for a limited time, we have some availability, probably the way things have been going through this weekend. So if you're looking for something new construction and you don't think there's anything livable under 250, come look at this at Urban Flats.
Yes.
So that is our pick three this week. I'm getting some inventory out there. So it's nice to see that summer inventory coming to market and we're getting people through and offers accepted. If you were out of the market in the spring market because you got frustrated or couldn't find anything or missed out, give us a call back. Our buyer's agents have been getting a lot of contracts accepted in the last 3 weeks. So it might be a great time before interest rates go back up to jump in there and take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before the break, we got through two of the four pillars for successful negotiating. We talked about communication and relatedness and then professional credibility.
Yes.
The third thing, and I saw this again and again this week, is the third pillar of the negotiation is promise of trust. And you might think, gosh, well, what could that be? I mean, this is why we have contracts, right? And this is why we have a 17 pages of a purchase and sale agreement. People want to know, the other agent, the buyers, the sellers, they want to know that you can be counted on, that what you're saying and presenting is a promise of trust to them. You have good faith effort to want to buy this house. You're not just going willy-nilly around there and tossing out 3 or 4 offers and having other things under contract. Like, promise of trust is that I will take care of the process, and that goes agent to agent, and then that really goes buyer to seller. There comes points in a transaction where it's very easy for that promise of trust to break down. So for instance, a great example of this is we're in a very, very heated market.
Yes.
That gets multiple offers. Many, many times the agent and the client will indicate during their negotiations, look, I know you have five offers, but my offer is cash. You know what? We put an inspection addendum in there, but we really, you know, if it's under $3,000 or $4,000, my clients, they really just said they're not going to ask for anything. They just want to be looking out for those big items.
Yeah.
That are on there. Okay. Well, you know, great. Yeah. Okay. I understand that. That's great. We will, you know, the seller, you know, looks at that and says, you know, that makes sense to me. I really like that. Fast forward 5 days later, you pick that offer over the other four offers. 5 days later, fast forward, you're looking at an inspection response from a buyer, and it's got seven items on it that total $1,400. How do you think that seller feels about the promise of trust?
Not very encouraged.
I think that's a nice way of saying it's destroyed.
Yeah.
In that instance.
And there's all sorts of verbs and adjectives and pronouns being thrown around.
Yes, absolutely. And so you've lost the promise of trust in that. And that is just one very, very common example that we see. There's many other pinch points in a transaction that we're always negotiating through and looking at, is this a spot where the promise of trust is going to be broken? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and we do have contractual consequences that make up for this, but there's a difference between a contractual consequence and, you know, they talk about the letter of the law or the spirit of the law. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have the letter of negotiations and the spirit of negotiations in action. And when that promise of trust is broken,
everything goes out the window.
We see difficulties in the transaction. So that was a big one, and very, very well presented in this process. Now, the fourth one seems very, very obvious, but it's almost too obvious. And sometimes we miss out on that. And that is clarity of outcome. Because a lot of times we come across these situations, and many times it's when the previous point, promise of trust, has been broken, where we lose clarity of outcome, where we come up to a situation where the intent was Mr. Seller wants to sell his house so that they can move to Idaho. There we go. There's a popular thing that I've been hearing recently is seller wants to sell their house so they can move to Idaho and they need to be there by July 15th. Buyer would like to buy this house because they're moving here and they need to be in a house by, you know, July 13th. So clarity of outcome, buyer wants to buy, seller wants to sell. You get into a situation where we've gone through some inspections and then people have a disagreement about what's happening in those inspections. And then all of a sudden, the outcome is I only want to buy this house if I get it for, you know, $30,000 less than we agreed to. And so now the clarity of outcome is no longer clear.
Yeah.
Because before it was, I did want to buy this house by a particular date and we had an agreed upon price. And now it's different because the condition is different. And maybe it is. Maybe that's a fully justifiable reason. But now what is the outcome? Is the outcome for the buyer to get that discount? Is the outcome for the buyer to cancel the transaction and leave the transaction? Or does the buyer still want to buy? Has the seller have their plans changed and their timeframes changed where now maybe they don't need to be in Idaho by the 15th? Mm-hmm. And so maybe they'd want to stay a little bit longer. So now maybe their pressure of making that sell complete is not the same as it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. So
exactly.
Now we don't have clarity of outcome. We have a really muddy pond and we're trying to see the bottom or get back up to the top. And so sometimes we have to come back and draw into that and say, okay, what is the outcome that we are now looking for, you know, with all of this new information? Or is it really the same as it was? And we've let all of these outside influences muddy it back up, let's get a filtration system, a Lance Kenmore filtration system in here.
Clean the
and
pool.
Clean this up and see what we can come out with. So clarity of outcome being the last pillar in that negotiation, and the outcomes are different for the different principals. And so buyers and sellers sometimes need to readjust and look at that. And if that's the case, and we can reaffirm what that is for all parties, we're much more likely to have a successful negotiation. So folks, that's what we're doing right now, is just a lot of negotiations. And I will tell you, the landscape is different even this week than it was 2 weeks ago. We have been able to find some amazing inventory and deals out there for buyers that, like I said, were previously unable to purchase. So really excited to see some of that summer inventory come on, get our buyers through that and put some deals together. And then we talked before in the first segment that also seeing a new record average sales price. So there's still, the sellers are finding some great equity that they're able to move to other properties. If you have any questions about that and how to use these pillars to negotiate the best possible deal for yourself, whether that's buying or selling, please go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. We'd love to help. We had a ton of radio and listener referrals the last 2 weeks. So
very good.
We really appreciate and thank the audience for those referrals, and we look forward to serving those and helping those people in during the summer months. With that, I'm going to go back into the trenches of real estate. But do not worry. We will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.